song title again?
Anda de lo lebi ele du mare.
Is it rolling, Bob?
The podcast you are about to hear was recorded live via satellite, cable, internet, Skype, computer. It features the voice of Tim, why don't you buy my fucking book, you cheap bastards, Coin, formerly of the Hollywood Podcast in Hollywood, California, and the Scarborough Dude. If you enjoy this episode and wish to show your appreciation, you can send donations to Tim. I still have fucking copies available of the goddamn book, you cheap bastards. Why don't you buy one? Coin, in Hollywood, California. We hope you will enjoy this exclusive interview with Tim. Hey, fuckers, the $20 includes the goddamn shipping and posting. Coin. And be aware that this may not be copied, edited, passed on, shared, or any other such thing, because it's an exclusive interview and nobody else can do this. The Scarborough Dude has the exclusive rights to interviewing Tim Coin, at least in Canada, and Shane can't talk to him. Thank you and goodbye.
Nothing.
Have we got an echo? Hello.
You got me?
Oh, wow.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh my God.
I can see you. Now you can hear me okay?
I can. Here, hold on one second. Am I in the dark for you?
No.
Is that okay?
Yeah, a little too bright, in fact. No. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Tim Coin on the line. Tim Coin. Some of you remember that name from the past. And this is pretty exciting stuff. Listen, Tim, I want to apologize. I called you at 11:58. I know the time was 12 o'clock, and I was just getting all excited and antsy. And
you were a little early.
Yeah, a little early, and I know how you guys run down there. But
who's us guys?
Well, whoever it is you hang out with down in Hollywood.
Now, you look like – that looks like an industrial office ceiling.
Yeah, I'm in my office. I never made it home last night. I was at a party and crashed at a friend's place. And hey, shit, man, come on, I got a heavy duty appointment at noon. So
you party hard.
It was the party wound down. The fun people left early. It's always a disappointment, you know. The hot chicks go early, and you're left with the pigs. It's just always a disappointment.
And how old are you?
Hey, I'm there to bring a little maturity to the party, right? You got too many young people, and they don't know what to talk about.
I mean, I can't believe that you're at your age. Your family wakes up in the morning and says, "Where's Dad?"
Yeah, oh, no, I mean
he got shit faced, and he slept over his buddy's house in their basement. I mean, what?
Exactly. I phoned in advance. Said, "Hey, listen, if you don't see me tomorrow morning, it's because the bus has stopped running." Okay, so I covered myself.
You know yourself so well that you warn them as you're heading out the door.
I could see where the party was going to go.
Listen, honey, there's a good chance I won't be home tonight.
Yeah, well, you got yourself a nice beverage there. It looks like a nice, I don't know, a cream, milky coffee, or what is it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's coffee, little cream, little sugar. Mm. It's hitting the spot.
Okay. Now, I noticed you're wearing a hat. That's why I'm wearing one.
I know. It's funny. You appeared on my screen, and I said, oh, look, we both look the same here.
Well, this is it. I didn't want to bring up the subject of hair or anything else, so I was kind of glad when I saw you gone in with your looks like one of the kind of things a robber. Is that a prop from a studio or something?
Yes, I went into my prop closet before our discussion.
Hey, listen, before we get too far into this.
Yeah.
This is really a big deal, right? It's a big deal for the Dixon Jane's listeners to hear. You know, I've been telling everybody, hey, I'm going to be talking to Tim. But I listened to the recording we did. Was it a year ago, 2 years ago when you'd put out the book?
Yeah.
A year and a half ago, maybe. Eh?
Yep.
And I listened to it, and I thought, you know, I held up my end of that. It was a good conversation. It was funny. I laughed listening the second time through. In that year and a half, my brain, I don't know how many cells have gone south, but yeah. I don't have the game anymore. Quite the way. So you're going to have to do a little better on your end to keep this thing going, to keep it going. So there's a little more pressure on you. In other words, if this sucks, people are going to be pointing fingers at you.
You're saying, if this sucks,
yeah.
I'm taking about 70% of the
exactly.
blame on that.
Exactly. 70, if 70.
It's, if it's great, I take the same 70, or do you take...
It's 50-50 split. If it works, 50-50 split, okay. I overestimated my decline. Okay?
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I hear you.
Okay. And one more thing I wanted to get out of
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
You go ahead. You go ahead.
I was going to say, it's this isn't that interesting, but the reason... There's sort of a trail here, an internet trail of breadcrumbs that have led to this conversation, because I recently moved my website to a different hosting company.
That's right.
And in that process, for some reason, I'm boring myself to death as I'm explaining this, but
I know where you're going.
Okay, so I have this thing set up so that when I put a new post on my site, it automatically tweets. Yeah. And I can say the parameters of that, like, hey, new show, and then it puts the show title and the link to it.
Yeah.
For some reason, that sort of triggered. It triggered once as I changed my site over, and it randomly picked this episode that you just made reference to.
That's right.
And it tweeted that show out, and I was getting tweets from people, oh great, a new show, and I had no idea what they're talking about. And it turns out it was this episode, the one you're referring to, that it shouted out to the world, hey, check it out, new show. Meanwhile, it was a show with you about 2 years ago,
Tim,
which got you to listen and then say, okay, maybe I'll call Tim again and we'll have a conversation.
Tim, did you hear what I said earlier about the 70%?
Am I blowing it big time?
Yeah. No. We'll call this a warm-up here. No. It was kind of neat. Now, it went out again a couple of days ago. It was tweeted once more. It showed up on my Twitter stream again.
You're kidding.
And somebody else, because you had a conversation, somebody said, hey, Tim, we got to catch up. And are you still in L.A.? And you said, I can't leave. So it's kind of weird. I think God has a hand in this thing, Tim. I think this is meant to be.
Well,
this is not just this is a convergence between the internet, technology, and God.
There is an interesting. I don't really believe in anything, fate, this or that, but it is interesting that the one guy who's been prodding me and pushing me and sort of poking me at every opportunity.
Gently,
which is you.
Gently.
Now, the God of the interwebs has taken your show and launched it out, and now all these people are, oh, hey, you know, oh, a new show. And it's like, no, it's not a new show.
I didn't quite follow that whole stream. Are you suggesting I'm God?
Yes. No, I'm not.
That's not where you're going with it.
No.
Okay. All right. Give it a try.
Anyway, but it is fun.
Let's just say it was very fortuitous.
Yes.
And what surprised me the most, in all honesty, was that you picked up on it. You said, sure, let's pick a date. Let's do it. Because I was sure you're going to come up with some excuse. I have been worried about you, Tim. And I thought, he's just going to put up a wall. And he said, sorry, I can't do it. I'm too busy. And here you are.
Well, there's something interesting that happens when, at least for me, I have not been putting out any shows. It's been a long time. It's probably been 2 years.
Mm.
And there's sort of an assumption that goes along with that because there was a sense of being heard from when I was putting things out that A, I'm angry or distancing myself. Or B, that things aren't okay. Now, there may be, there may be some of that, some of both of those, but it is one of those things when you're hearing from someone and then you're not, that there must be.
People get concerned, and we don't know.
Concerned, yeah.
There's two things. So number one is a concern because you made a lot of good friends, especially up here in Canada. Canadians are we're a tight community in the podcasting field. By the way, did you know that yesterday was the Canadian National Day of Podcasting?
I did not know that.
It's a big deal. It's a beautiful logo. There's a bunch of shows that went out, like shows from the past.
Now, obviously that's a new thing. Who headed that up?
It's the third year.
I mean, that...
Let me remind.
I didn't know it was 3 fucking years.
Let me remind you, you're American, Tim.
Wow.
Okay, we've offered you honorary Canadian citizenship. We'd take you here as a refugee, but
to stay. It got close in the election. I was really close to taking you up on that.
Yeah, that was scary, wasn't it?
That was scary.
Let's stay off that topic for a bit.
Yeah. Like
this I think it's that. You can talk about Bob and AJ or Bob and Mark. Sorry, Bob and Mark. You remember they used to do something called PAB.
I sure do.
Well, they walked away from it. Now, you probably haven't listened to the latest. Remember there was a show called the Canadian Podcast Buffet?
Oh, yeah. I've listened.
Okay. Well, that died, too.
No, I know.
Yeah, but it came back two nights ago.
Oh, it did? This day?
Well, not really.
Well.
But it would appear that way. They didn't even, I don't think they even mentioned it on that thing. But there's a convergence. Just as you and I talking now.
Yeah,
something's happening. You know, there's things are getting organized on some level we probably can't understand.
Yeah,
they've walked away. Either they bankrupt this organization or whatever. They've. Walked
I think
away.
They took their millions and.
I figure they have, and they've left it with Bill and Will.
Bill Dees.
Bill Dees and Will Spiesel, who do the Castroller. Yep. And they're taking it over. So a new life has been brought back into this organization. So things are looking up. In the field of Canadian podcasting, things are doing very well.
Yeah, yeah.
Delighted to hear. But this is why, again, full circle of why we're back talking to you, because people really miss your show. I was telling a friend at breakfast today, my buddy Brian, we had a breakfast, and I said, I'm going to be contacting a guy at noon. And it's not just a podcast. This guy was a storyteller. He's an artist. He just crafted it so well that people would hang on every word and they'd listen again and again to his podcast. They were just so amazingly done, and bam, he stopped. And that's really one of the reasons I'm contacting you now. I mean, we'll be a little playful here, like the young men we are, but there's a concern. Like, what happened? Why aren't you podcasting anymore? You got stories? What happened?
You know, I think about this all the time, and I don't really know. I think it's a combination of things. Mm-hmm. I think, there's that weird part that's hard for me to answer, because part of it is. Listen, I was not digging ditches in these shows, okay? It's not, you know, physical labor, but they were hard work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And mostly that comes from a passion and a need to tell a certain story, right? And for whatever reason, and this is the part that's hard to answer, I wasn't and haven't been feeling... what I felt for so many years about that need, and that whatever time I had, it would be put into to doing one of these shows, particularly the storytelling shows. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where how or why I lost that feeling, but I did, and you know, it saddens me because I would love to jump to that moment where, okay, I'm putting it up and you know, getting the art together and the title and getting it out there. I mean, it's an amazing feeling, as you know.
Yeah.
But I just I don't know. I just lost that desire and that passion somehow, somewhere along the way. And
it's not a stage fright or something. Like you were so good and you're up on such a high plateau that you felt, man, I can't put anything less than perfect out there. Because I know some people,
well,
that happens.
Yeah, well, there's some of that. I mean, I think if you, for me, when I look back at the shows I did, that definitely started getting, that feeling started getting stronger and stronger. And you can see that by the frequency. I mean, they did get less, fewer and fewer and fewer as I went along until finally, you know, at this point there were no more. So I was feeling that it was getting more and more difficult, even though I was actually getting happier and happier with the shows I was doing. It was just getting, it was getting more difficult in a way. I don't know. Part of me thinks, you know, I've read a lot, or there, it's interesting what can happen creatively when you're forced or you have these deadlines. I was just hearing, what was it? I was hearing someone talking about, there was some sort of study done, or someone wrote a book about, there was this ceramics, like pottery ceramics class. Mm-hmm. And one part of the class, they said, listen, your assignment this semester is to make one amazing bowl. Mm-hmm. One bowl. That's what I want you to focus on this whole semester. And everyone else, you're doing a bowl a week. And the ones who did the bowl a week by far did the greatest work. They were doing great, great bowls every week. So, I mean, I think there's something.
Interesting, interesting, yeah, eh?
Which, you know, which is kind of like,
yeah,
your show. But I think there's something to be said for limitations and deadlines and how it can pump out work. And in a way, sometimes I wonder if there's almost too much freedom well, okay, for example, you know, I never made any money off my show, but let's just say all of a sudden there's, you know, you're making money and there's an expectation like, listen, pal, you got to pump one out every Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. Step it up.
People have paid in advance.
Yeah, come on. Here we go. I think what you can do surprises you.
Yeah.
And so part of me, I think there's also that too, when there isn't necessarily a really hard, dead limitation and deadline, and combine that with, oh, this sort of preciousness and it's got to be great and I don't have enough time. It's not what I feel like doing. I don't know. I'm sort of rambling here because I don't really know the answer.
If I could just summarize that for our listeners.
Sure.
You're pissed off because nobody paid you, and so you're not going to do any fucking more podcasts. Is that?
Well, it's actually focused right at you. If you want to cough up, you know, $1,000, I'll give you a little show.
I paid $20 for that fucking book, buddy. I've done my bit.
Yeah, you know what? Let me talk about that, too. I mean,
oh, no.
Well,
yeah. Where's the second one, by the way?
What's that?
Where's the second one? I thought there was going to be a whole series.
Well, that's what I was.
Okay.
I don't want to get too much into it because I'm just so.
I don't think our listeners do either.
Yeah, I know. I'm just emotional and pissed off about it. But my idea was to start a book series, a book for each of the unkempt episodes I did. And the person I was working with just totally flaked on me.
Oh.
And it was really disappointing, and it wasn't for any reason. Like, we didn't have a falling out. Everything was, she just disappeared on me, and it was tough. It was,
so she wasn't, just, she wasn't just committed to it at all.
Well, she was for a good amount of time, and yeah, she just, I don't know. Anyway, it was just one of those disappointments along the way.
Did you get started on the second, and then she bailed?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Never even got, oh, you did, eh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Yeah. So.
You've saved us a lot of bread. Because those of us who bought in, we're more or less obliged to keep going. And, oh, fuck, how many is it going to put out? We got 15 of these? $20 a pop?
Well, part of it was nothing to do, believe me. It has nothing to do with money. It was more, yeah, there's a, even as I say it, the ego involved in this is shocking, but there's something about me that wanted to, sort of an old school legitimacy of a paper form. There's this fleeting thing, you know, if you get hit by a truck tomorrow, Scarborough dude,
yeah,
and no one has been careful to, and no one has all your files. I think about this about your show a lot because I think they're really important, and I'm just hoping someone has a copy of every one of them. Do you?
Are
they all?
I do, and they're on archive.org. I feel.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I put the first 300 shows up on archive.org. I figured, okay, they're there. Nice. I figured that's as safe a place as any.
Nice job. You know what? Back to Mark and Bob.
Hmm.
Bob did a very interesting, this was several PABs ago, he did a talk about his concern about the sort of archiving of these shows, particularly now as we look back, this early pioneer stage of podcasting, yeah, which I have a huge amount of respect for, but there's a lot of people who not only just sort of faded away, but their whole site went down, and then where are those shows, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, did they ever exist? And I do think it's important.
Well, my dream is always that 100 years from now, 50 years from now,
yeah,
there are going to be students at universities, and their assignment is to be sent back and to do their PhD on the early days of podcasting and
right,
dig through and find it. And that's why on my show, I just love cross-referencing, like talking about other shows,
yeah,
playing a clip from somebody else's show and showing what it's a web, you know, and it's we're all connected. In a way.
I think, first of all, I think that will happen. And mm-hmm, I think that your show will be this sort of almost like a spider web of connectivity where your show will serve as this, wait, who is he talking about there? Oh, he just mentioned these guys, and then they kind of go down that path and start trying to find those shows and then listen to those, and then there's this reference to this other, and this whole connectivity of a certain time period of people, non-famous people turning on a microphone and talking about their lives or talking to other people or whatever.
The timing,
I think it's important.
I do too. I think to me, this is the chance. This is the little man pushing back against the Kardashians and everybody else who've dominated mainstream media. This is the voice of the people. And I think it's,
fuck yeah,
politically. Oh, it's got a lot. Listen, speaking of little people, there was somebody who's going to be listening.
Oh, are we talking
to
about
this.
Shane?
Yes. How did you know? That guy, the only reason he will listen to this show is if we talk about him. He doesn't listen to my show anymore, the bastard. Shane won't, because I don't talk about him anymore, and he's a big businessman now. You knew that, eh?
I think if he could wake up every morning and do a Google search that searches audio conversations, like a mastermind Google search for his own name.
Yes.
That would be the only thing he'd be interested in that day.
That's it. That would be.
He actually, right now, this is the only part of the show he's interested in.
Do you know that as we're talking about right now, you can be damn sure he's got his dick in his hand, and he's listening, because that's the kind of thing he does. Oh my, that's me. They're talking.
Right now he's getting really excited right now too.
I got a little. I told him I've been teasing him a little, saying, "Hey, I'm gonna be talking to Tim, you know, and like making sure you're not invited." because I want right. that to be clear.
Yeah.
And he just tweeted me or texted me, whatever.
Oh, right now?
An hour ago when I told him this was coming up. He said, I want in on the action. And then he's and then he says, don't worry, I'm playing. I'll let daddy talk to his boy. Like, what is that? You know, like he's a bitter prick too, isn't he? There's a nastiness about Shane that other people, they see a big, kind of friendly, goofy, like a big Newfoundlander dog or something.
Right.
He's vicious.
Oh, yeah. He's the big, sloppy dog. Yeah. Oh, isn't he nice? And you turn your back and he bites you in the ass.
Exactly. You know, you get slobbered over with wet kisses and then suddenly you turn your back. Boom. That's it.
Well, he's also one of those, like a big, big, giant dog with a tiny, tiny, small cock. You know? You think because he's so big that he's got a big, big, and then you drop his drawers and nothing. Yeah.
Anyway, I just thought we'd bring him up. I think we can put that. Now, Tom, there's the guy with the big cock.
He's got a
and
giant.
And I think that's why Shane is always just a little bit, you know, he's always making excuses. Oh, Tom didn't show up. We couldn't do a podcast. I think it's actually the flip side. I think it's Shane who's weaseling out.
I think so, too. Well, you know, he still has a girlfriend, right? Or fiance?
Oof, they've been engaged for a year.
Oh, I mean, it's all over. I mean, he's probably just slobbering all over her constantly.
Yeah, well, them and the cats, they got a thing going there. The
whole time. The cats.
I've stayed there a couple of times.
But. It's unbelievable, isn't it? The cats?
Anyway, I think we should put Shane aside.
Okay, all right.
Tom, just to his credit, he did Fogfest 4. I went down to last year again. And Tom has a gift for being able to, bam, run up on stage, hungover, whatever, but just, bam, introduce bands, speak off the top of his head.
He's got talents,
but you can never pin down Tom down. Tom's like a thing on a video game. You just go to touch it, and zoom, he's off in another place, another direction, up another alley. You know, you can't pin him down anywhere.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to pin down. You know, one what his specific. There's something definitely very talented about.
Yeah.
Tom, and he's very gifted in certain, like, he blows me away in certain areas. This sort of, I think there's something, he would never do this, but there's something, he's driven by community and people. There's almost this is the kind of guy that in an ideal society ends up in politics.
Exactly. He'd be your mayor.
Doing great things for a community. Now, he wouldn't do that because he doesn't want to deal with
bullshit. Well, he's talked
bullshit,
about that, though.
Has he?
About that. He has. I've had conversations to talk. Because that guy walks down any street in Windsor.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody knows him. He knows everybody. He knows the scoop.
Yeah. And he earned that.
He would need a very good assistant.
Well, that's the thing.
If he's
going
to do this, he needs somebody to say, hey, Tom, you got a 2 o'clock with the mayor of Chicago or something.
You
got to be in Detroit in 2 hours. You got a ball to throw or something.
Right, right. You got to sit in this room and talk to these people, and then someone else will write up the legislation. But he'd bring people together. Yeah,
he'd do it.
Yeah,
Shane. I don't know, but like Shane
is Shane right now.
We just
lathered up Tom.
Well, we might have gone a little too far. I might have to edit that part. I'm talking about the size of his winky. I don't know.
Yeah,
if that's
we went a little too far.
It could be. He's become a businessman. He actually hires and fires people.
Who,
like
Shane?
Shane does. Like, yeah. He's, you know the expression, cock of the block?
Yeah.
That's him. The way he walks around, he parades around like on some big shot, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know. It's. I used to see something different, and something's happened to Shane. But anyway, let's forget.
Okay.
People are getting bored. People really don't want to hear about that joke.
I know.
Anymore.
See, this is what I like, though, because you break the rules in this way of you're really not supposed to talk about people. You know what? There's an improv rule, right? So let's say you're on stage and you're doing improv comedy. Mm. You don't talk about someone who's not going to enter the scene. Like, so you're making up, you're improvising, and you're like, hey, you know. I wish Bob was here, and if there's no Bob and Bob's not coming, then you've made a bad
mistake. It doesn't work.
So you always mention names and people, and I love it because I think there's some people out there saying, who the fuck is that? And I don't know, Tom. Fuck. And then I like it.
Who are these jerks? Well, just so people won't remember, but if anybody, new listeners, that they used to do a show called Squeeze Box, Shane and Tom Squeeze. It used to be popular. There's a while when that show was actually popular. And it just sort of dropped off. And they blame each other. Oh, well, you know, so-and-so didn't show up or whatever. But
great. Anyway. Yeah, anyway, great show.
Back to yourself. You're not leaving L.A. Like, this is your home. You are the Hollywood guy. You can't call yourself the Hollywood podcaster anymore because you're just not podcasting. But
well, okay, I have no plans to leave here.
Mm-hmm.
But to get back to one of your questions, sort of what's happened and what's going on, I have in the past year, about 6 months ago, I took a full-time job.
Okay.
You know, 9 to 6, Monday through Friday, at this point with very little to zero flexibility.
Right.
And so, which is really good. I'm thankful for the job, but it's changed a lot of things for me, especially creatively. The past six months for me have just been about work and trying to pay off some debt. I mean, there is a price to be paid. I'm glad I did it, and I've just for all the experiences and everything, but you know, when you get a college education, then get a job, and then decide at your job, oh, fuck it, I'm going to quit and move to L.A. to become an actor.
That's pretty ballsy.
You know, there's a, well, yeah, maybe, but there's a price to be paid years later if that, at least on a financial level, hasn't worked out.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm sitting here, and that is the phase I'm in right now, sort of that reality of, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I need an income. So, back to your question about am I leaving here? Sometimes I wonder if that would be the best thing, in a way, just to sort of like gambling, like an addiction, to sort of get out of this place, because you know there's always the possibility of that, you know, if not the big break, just the possibility of another. Booking another acting job, which is also very exciting, but
have you sort of given up on that? Have you sort of figured out it's just not going to happen, and so
well, that's what I'm talking about. That you have to leave. I have not given up until I leave here.
Yeah,
and leaving this place is fucking hard, man. That's why you walk around the city, and you know you go to the restaurant. And there's an actor or a former actor. Your real estate's a former actor. Your banker's a former actor. Your landlord, because they can't fucking leave because they might get a really great audition the next week, or somebody might ask them to be in something. Or it's hard. So I've definitely not given up. But right now, my life is about this job. It's about bringing home a paycheck, and will. As we go into the new year, I'll kind of see if I can get some flexibility. And at this point, you know, to be honest, the ideal scenario would be I have this job, but then I have some flexibility to go to auditions here and there, and acting becomes more of this fun little side pursuit that occasionally I get some work in, and it adds that sort of unpredictability and excitement to my life, which I've realized is really important to me.
Yeah, we need that little bit of financial stability. You need an income coming in. And so you're probably doing the right thing by taking that job and saying, okay, I'm going to make some sacrifices. I don't have the free time.
Right.
I got to do this now. I just got to pay the bills.
You nailed it. And if I can spice in some of that excitement of, hey, and then this thing happens once in a while, that to me sounds pretty good.
See, what I was wondering is, there are many of us who are driven by creativity. It's just something we don't even have a choice in. And it expresses itself in different ways. A lot of people, it's become photography. It's this, that, writing, singing.
Yep.
You're a creative person. You it's in you. And I'm curious to know where it's being channeled. Because it's not through your job. And you're not getting these acting bits right now. And I'm wondering, and you're not putting out the podcast or telling the stories. So where is that creativity? Where's your outlet? Where's it going?
Well, this right now, I would say the past year for sure, maybe close to 2 years, have been the most uncreative stretch for me in a long time. You mentioned photography. That's the big thing I've gotten back into over the past 2 years. So that's the only thing I've been channeling it into. I've done a few essay performances out here in L.A., but nothing recent. So
but why
really, really, this question you asked me, this is the thing. Yeah, it's been...
Why aren't you showing us that stuff? We're like, we're not seeing it. Like, why not? Isn't there a link up on Facebook? Hey, I just did this thing. Like, I mean, it is as if you consciously blacked out your old friends, your old life, and just said, boom, I've drawn a line, I've made a change. And and it's been us trying to reach out to you, you know, like an intervention. Tim, come back.
I know. Well, maybe they've fed on each other, because I really haven't had a creative outlet in the past year, maybe 2 years. And I think part of that is there's a lot of guilt. There's a lot of frustration and shame and just anger for me around that. Because my 30s, I mean, I'm 40, okay?
Did you just turn 40 or?
Back in March.
Okay.
So.
Wow.
But my 30s were really creative for me. Like I realize that even more so now, because the past year or two have been really difficult in that area. But so I don't know. A part of me, because I haven't had much to offer, you know, I've just been staying, I guess, offline a little bit, you know, in terms of because I haven't had much to share. So I know that's probably seemed like I've been pushing people away, but it hasn't really been that. It's just more like, hey, I'm working a lot of hours, working hard, and just trying to get by in a way right now.
The only thing you do share is the Santa Monica stairs. Like,
yeah, I know.
That's all we get. You
it's
know?
Like, and, listen, this asshole's at the stairs again.
Yeah. And so I feel obliged to comment every time you visit them. You know?
I know.
It bugs me, but I have to do it.
I know. Every time I get a comment from you, yes.
I spent some fantastic weekends in Windsor. Like, that was just a getaway. And I go there and I feel like I've won the lottery, because you got everything. You got people, you got fun and conversation. One of the conversations with Shane was that, you know, people would almost be willing to bankroll Tim if he was making his own movie, if he was doing something. If Tim would come up to Windsor, Detroit, and he talked about it in all sincerity, said we'd have no trouble, the way people raise money for this issue or that issue and so on, to get together a small crew to do a creative film project. Like, people believe in you.
Yeah.
They see. And me, I'm wondering if maybe you stopped believing in yourself for some reason, and
time, no,
or the city wearing you down? No.
Well, there it is a phase for me of okay. Now what? There's a fine line between this notion of, you know, not giving up, and when I say not giving up, really I'm just talking about having a career. Bill-paying career as an actor versus kind of seeing the writing on the wall. And there's a fine line there, because quitting is a very, you know, it's a rough task.
Yeah. I really envision your next move is just getting the hell out of Dodge. You know, just say, oh, that's it. I'm moving. I'm starting a new life. I'm going somewhere else.
Yeah.
Picking somebody, who knows, you know, Boulder, Colorado, or who knows where you'd go, or even up to Canada. But, bam, starting all over. Okay, done that. I don't need it. And keep your contacts, but just starting a whole new phase. Does that seem at all like, what are the odds, 50-50 odds? Or?
Well, the one thing, I think right now, right now as we're speaking, the only thing that would do that would probably be, and I've considered this, like, let's say if I went back to school,
okay,
and I went to get, you know, my graduate degree somewhere, and you know, in a certain place. I got into a certain place and, you know, whatever.
Graduate degree in what? In theater, film?
Well, I don't know. I'm just starting to sort of put this around in my mind. I mean, part of it, yeah, I don't know. There's a bunch of different things going on in my head. But right now, I think the short-term thing is continue doing this job and try to get some flexibility and kind of let that play out. But I'd like to, listen, I'd like to be doing my own films. Shane and I talked about this, you know. Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to plot my next creative move here because everything takes, it's really hard to go through the finish line on any creative project. Like really follow it all the way through. So I'm just trying to figure out, well, where's my energy going? Where's it going to go?
I guess one of the things, the reason I wanted to have this call was I was concerned that you had entered a depression, that you're actually down in this spiral, and that's why you weren't reaching out, you weren't following up. As I talk to you, I don't see that. You don't strike me as being depressed. You've got a rational look at it, but it does strike me that you're due for a change or something.
Right.
I don't know. I might be projecting a little here, but I'm thinking you must be tired of being there. You must be tired of being in that city. You must be thinking about what are the other possibilities? What else can I do with my life? I'm 40 now. I got, a good stretch ahead of me. Is this a time to make a change?
Yeah, I'm not tired of this place. Okay. I kind of both things are true. I'm not tired of this place, but I do wonder that thing you just said there, sort of what is there another path that I should be taking that would lead to something else that would be, you know, I don't really like using the word happiness so much because because I'm not unhappy.
That's
and happiness is sort of a weird notion. Yeah. I don't even know if it's more of a I like being challenged. I like being feeling at ease with. I don't know. I'm not really sure. Yeah,
you do have some anxiety issues, don't you? Are you unmedicated for those now? Are those at bay, or is it still an issue?
Yeah, I think about that a lot too. I do. I've covered this in my podcast a lot, but I don't take anything regularly. I just always have emergency medication on me.
Yeah.
And that's related to, a panic attack I had. It was actually 2001. And anyone who's ever had something like that, there's sort of this fear forever of having one of those again. Mm-hmm. And there are certain things that trigger it. So I always have it on me and I take it on occasion. It's very, very rare, really. But yeah, it does. It's made me think about just my whole life and how much the anxiety thing has sort of pointed me in certain directions. Sometimes I step into it. And that would be like moving out here and pursuing this career I sort of stepped into, because everything I do out here has so much in that area, in the acting area, has so much anxiety related to it that there's that side of me, and then there's the other side of me that it keeps me maybe from doing some things too.
But maybe the acting thing, because it's so unpredictable and it's so edgy and it's so scary, that you're probably pulled towards it for that reason too. It's almost like it's tied into the anxiety.
I think it is, because when something happens there, you know, let's say whatever, like I was on CSI Miami less than a year ago. You know, part of me like, who gives a shit? But
you didn't tell us. Last time you had that shouting.
I think I told Twitter and told whatever. Anyway, but when it goes through that whole process, when I audition, and that's incredible, so much anxiety and blah, 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 and then I get the part, and then I show up on the set, and there's all these moving parts, and the camera's on, and you've got to fucking nail it, because they're already behind, And it is an incredibly fulfilling thing when I'm able to do it and get it done. Because it's just really challenging, and it's a very fulfilling, exciting.
Did you have a speaking line on this CSI Miami? Did you actually get to see something?
Yes, you prick.
Come on. I know you've
no,
already
No, I was
done
a fucking
shout-
extra.
I know you've already shouted orders for the back of a limo.
That's right, back of a limo.
Were you in a limousine this time? That's right.
No, this was so, a...
You're not typecast the guy in the limousine, right?
No, but you know what? I now I've gone from being in the back of a limousine to running over a woman with my car.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so the scene is I hit a girl, I come running out of the car, yell for help, and then I get interrogated by
Holy
one of the
That's a big part.
Oh, well, it was a good it was you know what it was fun because it was in the scene that opens the show. Wow. You know, so they have that little scene and then the Who song kicks in. Yeah! It was pretty cool.
You know, seriously though, I follow you. I follow you on Twitter. I never heard anything about this. And I would have gone looking for that. And this is symptomatic. Like,
yeah,
are you getting back at people? Have you disowned your friend? Because how come? I mean, everybody would have loved to have known about that. It would have been the talk of the town. Holy fuck, Tim is going to be CSI Miami. Like the last show you're in.
Yeah.
But you didn't do that. You didn't bring us into it. That's odd.
Well, yeah. Listen, part of me, you know what it is too, I think. I am by nature a little bit of a loner. I'm alone a lot.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
And I like it. And I'm trying to push myself outside of that a little bit. But I don't know, I think it creeps up and it gets me sometimes where I sort of sit in my own in my own stuff.
See, that's a piece of the puzzle I didn't have before. And just you telling me that, I'm a loner. Suddenly, it's come into focus a little more. Ah, okay. This is something I didn't understand before, but it makes sense in a way.
Well, people don't know that because, you know, if they meet me and we're hanging out, I appear very social.
Yeah, yeah.
Comfortable. And I am comfortable, but I'm actually not that social.
Okay.
It takes a and I
takes effort.
It's effort. I do get a lot of anxiety with it a little bit. You know, even when Shane came down to visit.
Yeah.
You know, he wanted to, and this is reasonable, but he wanted to like stay at my place, and you know, I kind of need my distance a little bit, like on my terms, where hey, we're going to be hanging out plenty, but. I can't have this sudden 24/7 thing.
I wasn't going to bring that up, but now that you did, Shane told me, he said, even when I visited him at PodCamp or something, you could get to Tim's door in the hotel.
Right.
Tim would get his head to the door, but you could not get in that room.
Like, no, it's...
Whoa, this is the barrier, this is the line. And I thought, is that right? That seems odd. But that is, you are a little
actually,
quirky.
That's a good example because there, of course, I could have stayed with someone at PAB.
Yeah.
Hey, can I jump in with you guys?
Yeah.
And I always had my own space, my own room. And I don't know where that comes from, but you know, it's been a part of me for a really long time. And it's pretty powerful. It's a pretty intense feeling in me. And it affects me in relationships too, because, you know, women are like, how. Why don't you want to be with me constantly?
Yeah, let me in. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that is interesting to do it.
So I think you've felt that over the past couple of years because there hasn't been the show that has sort of brought me closer to people, and then I'm reaching out to people.
We can't get into your world.
Yeah, you can't get into my world because now I'm just running up and down the stairs.
Yeah, that's all you're doing.
That's all I fucking do.
Yeah. Listen, the last area I want to cover before we do this. I hope you're recording this. I got a recorder that's going, but I don't know if it's working. I hope it is.
This will be
painful, if it's not.
I am.
But spiritually, where are you? Because this hasn't come up in the conversation yet.
Yeah.
And you talk about being alone, you talk about anxiety, you've talked about not sure about your future. But I don't get any sense of whether how big an element that is in your life, whether it's It's not there at all. Are you looking at, do you have a oneness with God, a holiness? What's going on?
Well, I have no... If you talk about, you know, God and religion, I have zero... Well, just at least we can start there. I have zero relationship with God or religion.
Okay.
Never have.
Okay.
And it doesn't feel like an emptiness in my life at all. Mm-hmm. Just not part of my dialogue or my thinking. But I think you're hitting at a bigger thing than that. But I don't know. I think no matter what word you put on it for me, God or spirituality or anything like that, I don't know. It's not part of.
I'm talking about a connectedness, a sense of the inner me is actually, there's another force.
Yeah,
Something out there that I can actually connect to on some very basic level. There is a oneness. There's a wholeness that I am a part of. That I'm not completely living in isolation. That if I want to connect, I know the potential. I know it's in me, whether or not I awaken to it or not. It's like a Buddhist thing. Will I awaken to this oneness?
Yes.
And I don't. Maybe this just isn't the time in your life for that. You're focusing on survival at this point.
No, but it is. Okay, I would say it was a week ago, and this is I filled out, and I've done this a couple times over the past, over the past 10 years. Mm-hmm. I re-entered the world of online dating.
Ooh.
And this is relevant because it's kind of, it gets to what we're talking about in the way that it is an active move on my part to reconnect with the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because what does happen when you do this online dating thing is that you will absolutely go out with people on dates or like an initial meeting. It will re-engage you. So there is something in me. I know that I'm perfectly fine 95% of the time being alone, but I'm pushing myself back out into this thing to try to tackle this.
Only 5% of the time, that's all you got for a woman in your life?
Five or 4%, that's about it. No.
Have you met anybody?
Listen, you're a perceptive guy. I can usually just sort of do my thing and no one will notice me pulling away a little bit, and you've been very loving in reaching out to me, and I really appreciate it.
I'm delighted to hear that because it is. It's I like to make this fun and tease, but it is of a real concern, and it really is because people really like you. People feel you're our friend. You're obviously a token Canadian too, but you were part of this community. And I just feel this community is more and more important in the world that becomes more frightening every day.
Yeah.
Community and like-mindedness in people and this kind of caring is just so important. And it's like you're one of the sheep that's sort of gone astray. There's this need. Well, come back. Yeah. Where are you? What's happening? But I think you've given us a lot today, and I appreciate that.
Appreciate it, too. That was the initial, when I started my podcast. Way back when, whatever it was, 2005, that was the feeling, that need to reach out to people and to share my life. And, and then now I'm on this other end and I've been sort of now not sharing at all. So it's nice. I'm glad you dug me out of my hole to have this conversation.
Well, I'll tell you, this whole conversation will have no meaning at all to me.
Yeah.
Unless sometime down the road you do another podcast and you talk to us and you just be open. And even if you were to talk about the struggle of doing it, it doesn't have to be about some girl or some relation. It doesn't have to have anything to do with the past. It's just, hey, here I am, and this is what it's like to be a loner. This is what it's like. Just it's along the lines of the conversation we're having today.
You know,
consider this breaking the ice maybe. But so many people would be just so delighted. You'd be giving, and sometimes in the giving of yourself,
right?
It's a very generous gift.
Yeah.
You know, and you mentioned the word anger, bitterness came up a couple of times.
Mm.
Maybe that's for other things that haven't worked out. Maybe it's against the Hollywood machine or whatever, and you've just sort of lumped it all together and included your online fan base in that group. And we're saying, hey, we're different. We are your friends. We care.
Yeah, it's true.
You know?
Well,
I don't
we'll
want
see.
You to cry, Tim. I don't want you to cry. That's not my purpose now. I don't want you crying now. And Shane probably wants that, but I'm
careful. I might.
Well, I know. You know.
No, but no, you're right, and we'll see. We'll see what the future holds. I am optimistic about all of it. Everything we talked about.
Can we do this again some other time down the road? If we don't hear from you, I'll say, okay, Tim. Hey, it's been 3 months now. Not a word. Six months maybe, and let's have another conversation. And if that helps the process,
I'd love to.
Let's do that. I'd like some kind of an exclusive deal. I don't want you doing this with Shane. I don't want Shane in on it.
Listen, you have
it's an exclusive.
You have it right here in audio recorded. You have an exclusive. Okay. I'm yours. I ask permission from you for anything.
Thank you very much. I hope that's clear and loud. It's been a very enjoyable. I think we've gone on for almost an hour now. And, and I think it's been really worth it. Some final words. Listen, it was the Canadian National Day of Podcasting. It's too late for me to sneak this one in.
Right.
But I'll make sure that your old friends hear about this. I'll put it up as a Dixon Jane show. And,
okay, good.
And brag about my special inside deal, you know.
Okay, and I'll tweet and brag about my inside relationship with Scarborough dude.
I don't think we should say anything more about Shane's small cock. He's on some pills, and I don't know if it makes it bigger or smaller. It's a bit like Alice in Wonderland. You can't tell Shane what's really happening. You know, I don't know. He's becoming more of a man, more of a woman. What's going on?
It's I will
very
say,
hard
though.
To say. Okay.
If he's listened this long, I love Shane. He's a wonderful guy and a great friend, and I hope he knows that.
He knows we are both saying this out of love.
Okay, you know, good.
It's very much that way. And that he's going to get all teary now. And,
yeah, now he's crying with his cock in his hand.
With his cock in his hand. Always his cock in his hand.
All right.
So listen, take care of yourself. Very, very good. I appreciate your openness and your ease of doing this. It was fun. And you held up more than your 70% of the end.
All right. Did. I'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Take care. Love you, Tim.
Okay, love you too. Bye. I'll take away your pain.